about entree into schools. And unfortunately or fortunately, this is the least data-driven and least protocol-driven and sort of not what I usually talk about. So hopefully it's going to be a lot about how we get in and a lot of will and what's needed to get into schools. In a little bit about the program that goes on in Philadelphia and the overview of the STD high school screening program. It's a very large program. And initially we talked about screening in high schools as a way to reach adolescents in the mid to late 90s. And we heard some discussions about screening in high schools 1997, 1998. And by 2000, we were able to partner with the Family Planning Council of Southeastern Pennsylvania to screen in two high schools as a demonstration project. We went to the school district with help from our health commissioner, wanting to expand to 10 schools in high prevalence areas. And for several reasons, we're mandated to screen in all 53 plus high schools. Basically, if you want to do one, you got to do them all. They didn't want us to stigmatize any schools, and they did not want to preferentially offer screening since we had so passionately described it as something that needed to be done to some students, but not all students. In that very short period of time, we worked with our program manager at that time, Marty Goldberg, and all of the staff worked very hard to make that happen in a very short period of time, because we were given the mandate in November and began screening in all schools in January and screened all schools between January and June of that first year. In an overview, we educate approximately 30,000 students each year, although there are about 54,000 students in the Philadelphia public high school system. Only about 30,000 attend on any particular day. And we test about 16,000 students per year. In the 5 years of screening so far, we've detected over 4,000 positive tests for STDs and have treated and had confirmed treatment in over 99% of those. Okay. So I'm going to take a step back and tell you how we and four other high school programs got their foot in the door of high schools and how we started screening programs. Historically, with the advent of nucleic acid amplification testing for chlamydia, screening in non-clinical settings became possible. There were some early high school screening programs that were integrated into clinical settings in schools. And of note, Baltimore, who will be presenting today, in New Orleans, Charlotte Gatos, and Melinda Nusami, did some very early screening programs in school-based health centers. All of the programs that we'll just talk today took a lot of will and determination to get in, a lot of political will, a lot of personal will. In Philadelphia, like I said, it took us more than 4 years, and initially we were told that there was a legal decision that we could not do testing in any schools. So even if you're told that, remember that things change. In New York City, the health commissioner worked for 3 years with the Department of Education and got some grant funding that helped propel the program forward. In New Orleans, not only did they originally get in very, very early into schools and screen in very novel ways, but after Katrina, they worked very hard to get back into schools because so much of life had changed. It was the program staff who pushed to restart daily programs and things that had been pushed away after Katrina. In Baltimore and Indian Health Services, although they're both in schools currently, they're continuing to work hard at expanding because so many of their schools are diverse, especially in Indian Health Services, that although they are in one school currently, they are working very hard with different levels to expand the schools. And by this month, they're going to be in three more schools. And I don't know how to go back. Okay. Little bit of a timeline, and I went over some of this already. Baltimore started screening in school-based health centers in 1994. New Orleans started their screening program in 1995. And I put that 1998 STD National Conference in Dallas in because it was in a room not so dissimilar to this that I heard Deborah Cohen present on the New Orleans screening that she had done with Melinda Nusami. And it was a lot of that propelled us in Philadelphia to work harder. Having a Northeast egocentric thing, I was like, they can do it down south and we can't do it in the Northeast. How could that be? And Marty Goldberg and I took a lot of that information and went and started a screening program with Melinda in 2003. New York City started, and they started screening in select high schools. And although they are still not in every high school, they're screening in the number of schools there now equals all of the high schools in Philadelphia put together, just because it's such a large school district. Unfortunately, Katrina shut down the screening in New Orleans in 2005, but as you can see, they got back on board. And on that same year, a grant allowed New York City to expand their screening. And by 2008, IHS had already been in one school, and again, this month they're expanding to other schools. In order to start, you have to first assess what's available in your area. And assessing isn't just knowing what's there, but also knowing what's not there and how to work with them. So there are school-based health centers, and Baltimore worked very closely, as well as New Orleans and New York initially, with school-based health centers. But school-based health centers are not available in every school, and they're certainly not one of the programs that we're discussing today has school-based health centers in every school, and I know many parts of the country do not have school-based health centers. So if you want to screen, it's a good entree into the schools, but it's not the only way to get in. It's good to work with school health departments. In New Orleans and New York City, they worked very closely with their school health departments. And in New Orleans, the director of their school health department is in charge of all the nursing and special services. And with them, they were able to use that leverage also to get in. In Philadelphia, as I explained before, we worked with health resource centers, which are part of the Family Planning Council project. It was a program that was already in schools, handing out condoms, doing STD education, and working with programs that already have a connection with the school helped us again to gain confidence and work with other people in the school. In Indian Health Services, there are some boarding schools. These can both work for you and against you, I learned. For many of them in boarding schools, they feel that they are taking control of the whole healthcare aspect, and you can work with that to do screening. But in some, they work very differently, and you need to work around that and work with the health department. It's important to demonstrate need first. And as I said, we started in almost all of the programs, started small, used that screening data after starting small to expand. Not only do we, everyone you can see here for yourself, screened in two schools, three schools, and we began and used those as demonstration projects. When you go and you present to schools, you want to highlight national and local data, but it's important, again, to have that data from small-scale screenings to show need. But also, after you've done some small-scale screenings, you can show success, and you can show that it's feasible to do without truly disrupting the school day. You can use the lessons learned from the small-scale screening to fine-tune your program. It's important to get both high-level and local support, and to use the lingo of the conference, to engage stakeholders at all levels. In New Orleans, again, they worked with the director of the school health department. They put together an advisory board, which not only helped them get entree into the schools, but meets yearly to review and revise protocols. It keeps not only your foot in the door, but it keeps your program fresh. It keeps everything that you do moving forward. In Philadelphia, it was really the will of the health commissioner and the CEO of the school district that allowed us to get in. At the time when we started screening, the mayor's wife, Naomi Post, put political pressure because she worked on a report card for healthcare for children and gave Philadelphia a failing grade in STDs. And we said, wait, we've had ideas. We have ideas of things we want to do, but nobody's allowing us to do it. And it was that political pressure. So if you have people who are saying, but you're not addressing this, you can say, we have ideas and ways to address it. And we were able to use that. In addition, we were able to meet with principals, parents, and students as well to get ideas and keep them involved in the process. In New York City, it was the Commissioner of Health's strong support and working with the STD program that really helped push this forward. And the commissioner worked directly with the Department of Education and the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, and the Department of Education went through an IRB process. This also helped, going through the IRB process, help them gain support. And what they also saw was they were allowed to do it as a screening project without needing IRB. They were IRB exempt, but they were told that they needed an opt-out letter in order to keep it as an IRB exempt project. They also did parent meetings to gain buy-in at that level. In Baltimore, they're lucky and they have the support of a large university, as they do in New Orleans with Johns Hopkins, and the support of the health department, who work very closely together to support this program. And it was with that and working with the school-based health centers that they were able to get into schools. In Indian Health Services, and I'm going to keep looking over to Lori because I am amazed at how much they do and how wide their scope is. Their scope is very, very wide in so many different levels of their screening and having to work with tribes, etc., the local school boards, the local and regional tribal divisions, as well as the tribal health departments. And many of their schools are set up differently. They work directly on reservations as well. Some additional considerations when you're trying to get into schools is to know your audience. You really need to know who you're speaking to. When they speak to tribes and Indian Health Services, they use very low-key presentations. They stress emphasizing health decision-making versus screening to screen. It's very important to understand when you're trying to work with schools that schools are in the business of education. When we couch it and when we couched our programs in New York and Philadelphia, we couched it and put it in with an educational piece. So there's no part of this, in New Orleans as well, Baltimore I think as well, there's no piece of this that is not connected to education. When you're working with schools, education is their mission, and you need to work with their mission as well. But also you need to make sure that you're not disrupting their school day. In most places, there is a big push to testing for academic reasons, to get funding. We need to work with them and show that you're flexible in working with them and understanding that their main goal is education. It's also important, and you may need to listen to them. If they say you can't go into this high school, you want to go into this. In New York City, when they went into schools, they went into schools that were most receptive, and that's how they got their foot in the door. You can use those most receptive schools to then make your next step. So in conclusion, in order to start and get entree in to high schools, you need patience and will, political champions. It's important to demonstrate need and success, to engage all of your stakeholders, and to be flexible in your screening program, not just when you get in, but in order to continue it. I need to thank many people. Greta Anschutz, who does all of our data analysis for the high school screening. Melinda Salmon, who is our program manager, and when we started the screening program, was special projects manager. Marty Goldberg, Carolyn Johnson, our disease control division director, and all of the staff who screens on a daily basis and works very hard to make this all happen. 16,000 tests in a year do not happen easily. In Baltimore, you will hear the following people speak a little bit later this morning or next. Charlotte Gatos, Lori DiRavello, Melanda Nusame, and Megan Rogers. We'll all talk both about their programs in specific areas. And I'm going to introduce Lori DiRavello, who's going to talk about funding and sustainability of STD programs.